What's up, y'all? Welcome to another episode of Podcasting Success Secrets. My name is Hector Santia Esteban, and I am your host for the show. Well, if you're catching this in the middle, if you're new to the show, we're in the middle of a three-part series of an episode that I recorded with Scott Gross for his podcast. On the last episode, we talked generally about the podcast industry and some of the opportunities that are there. And on this one, we get a little more into social media, the dynamic that podcast hosts have with their listeners, and some of the things that come about with it. But again, great conversation. If you haven't listened to the first part, go back and listen to that one first. This will make a lot more sense. But in any case, it's a great episode nonetheless. So let's get into it. See you on the other side.
Maybe you could look this up since you've got the internet over there. But recently there was this debate on Lex Fridman's show between Ben Shapiro and I can't remember the other guy's name. Destiny, like pretty far left commentator, podcaster. There's probably 90% of political issues that Destiny, I would agree with, right?
The guy with blue hair.
Sometimes, yeah. But Destiny was so authentic in his debate with Ben Shapiro. And I definitely don't agree with everything Ben Shapiro says either. That I'm like, oh, man, I got to subscribe to this guy's channel. I got to listen to him. Like, if I want to get a hot take on multiple sides of the issue, I'll now go to his YouTube channel because he's super authentic. Like, that won me over. He's a progressive. I'm a libertarian. I watch his shit all the time because I'm like, he's smart. He's intelligent. He presents things in a fair manner. And he's really authentic. I don't feel like he's just saying all the things you're supposed to say for clickbait to get like the blue hair mob to watch his videos. I just love him. I love the guy. I hope there is a space to win people over authentically and like just skip the headline. Unfortunately, because of the echo chambers that we all live in, I don't think I would have ever found him if he wasn't debating a conservative on a libertarian podcast.
Yeah, that's another thing about podcasts is that it's with algorithms and with the short form stuff, you get fed the same stuff. I mean, you get fed it. I had to delete Instagram for a while off my phone. I don't have TikTok. But because when you swipe, you don't know what the next video is going to be about. You have no fucking clue. And so it could send you into a cascade. You know, you could be some graphic shit. It could be some triggering. I mean, like, who knows, right? But on the other side, podcasts is more of a thing that you have to go out and search for. You know, you have to go out and actively decide to listen to it. And so I think it creates this unique space where there's the chance to get out of the echo chamber because the algorithms really create that echo chamber where they just, oh, they're into that. Let me just keep feeding them because that's all that we know that they like that stuff. Whereas with a podcast and you have someone like Lex and Destiny where, you know, you have the people who are into Lex and you have the people who are into Destiny. Now they're forced to hear each other's sides in a drawn out manner as opposed to 60 seconds hearing one side spit at the other side and then not hearing, you know, and just thinking that the other side is shit or whatever. Right. It's a dual kind of, it's a conversation, not a dictation.
Yeah. Speaking of our friend, Mr. Coach Drinkon, which I love the fact that his last name is Drinkon because he's like the most straight arrow guy, like super nice, always thinking. Like the fact that his name would be synonymous with like binge drinking just cracks me up. Anyway, he does almost every morning like a little coach's corner coaching tip where it's like a solo cast. He's educating or he's talking about his thoughts or he's taking a topic and like going deeper. And then, of course, his show is interview format. So can you talk a little bit about like the different places for different show formats? I did when we started this, a solo cast often where I would just, these are three issues I want to rant on. I love sitting here with you and having a cigar and like being social and not having to worry about what's going on with my phone and just talking for 2 hours to somebody. And then what we're going to try to experiment with here soon is like maybe five or six people around a table watching a boxing match or watching an MMA fight or watching a debate and commentating on it. So like, can you talk about kind of the different show formats and what you like for different reasons?
Yeah. So if you're a business owner, it's great to be able to hop on for 15 minutes, you know, I'd say 15 minutes max per episode to deliver on a subject, right? If you're a loan officer and there's a new something that people need to know about, or there's a common question that you get often, that's great opportunities to hop on just you, rant or educate or whatever it is. Because what too many podcasters do is they have a conversation or they think, oh, interviews is what they see and what they know. So let me hop on and interview people. And they think that it's going to help them grow their business. And it might through the networking and through some of the other connections and such. But it actually, if done the wrong way, if you take like that journalist approach that we talked about, they're not looking to the journalist. They don't want to pay a journalist. that journalist is not an expert. If you come in and you are asking questions in a journalistic manner, you're kind of, I don't want to say demeaning, but you're lowering your sales equity, right?
Yeah.
Just by the
different
way.
Different role.
It's a different role. So if you want to have conversations, the way that you do it is you don't have an interview, you have a conversation. That way everybody's coming in on a level playing field and it's two thought leaders, two experts who are having a conversation about something as opposed to, let me ask you this question, let me ask you this thing. And you know, whereas some hosts will have their 10 questions or their 5 questions and they just, you know, read them right off the thing and they don't get any sales equity from their listeners for that. So conversations and interviews are great for that relationship aspect. They're great for diversity of topics. They're great for connections and networking and that sort of stuff to kind of bring other audiences in. Because when you have, you know, Joseph Bienavides on the show, some people who are into him and what he's up to, they're going to click on and some will stick around and it kind of goes on like that. So after that, there are we don't really deal in like the really cinematic sort of stuff. They've got really cool shit like in sci-fi and our producer, Kevin, he has a really cool true crime show. It's like really cinematic and sound effects and all that sort of shit. There's those sorts of things. So outside of the cinematic stuff, you've really got a couple of ways that you can go. You've got your interviews or you've got your solo. And that's kind of it. You know, we like to break those up and there's different ways that you can create segments on it. We've got the cigars here. Some people have the hot wings. Some people have got the different things. But I mean, after that, like most people just want to have a good conversation. They want to listen to like a good conversation. Like that's what people are there for podcasts for is to hear a good conversation. Most people are listening in their car or on their drive or working out or doing the dishes. And it's kind of something to take them out of wherever they're at. So, you know, when it comes to formats, as I'm thinking about it, we like to break our stuff into like 3 segments, you know, kind of like a radio show might, you know, you've got kind of an intro, a main and an out, and that allows you to do some things with sponsors and ads and allows you to do some different cool or different segments, right? Whether it's asking the same types of questions or whether it's doing a bonus round or a current events segment, like having it segmentized has been helpful in just keeping the show engaging.
So talk a little bit about segments. The only thing we do is there's 2 questions that I always end the show with, and that kind of just started by accident. But if you were coaching me, right, because this year, 2024, we're trying to have our podcast, like, because money is tight in the mortgage business, it's like all the things have to support the thing, right? So I'm interviewing more business owners, realtors, loan officers. Like, I want to grow the audience. And I was actually talking to, I wouldn't call him a friend yet, an associate or an acquaintance. He runs a podcast, Jiu-Jitsu. Awesome jiu-jitsu guy, has a wildly successful tutorial business, really well subscribed podcast on jiu-jitsu. And I was talking to him and I was like, yeah, man, like we talked almost this whole week at this jiu-jitsu camp. Super cool guy, super transparent, told me all the things he did wrong, all the things he did well, shared with me a bunch of his numbers, which were kind of mind boggling. And he goes, yeah, he's like, you kind of did it backwards where, you know, you should have started with like a loan officer business podcast and then expanded more into your personal stuff. And yeah, after you got your first 10, 20,000 subscribers, because they like the loan officer, the real estate content, as soon as you started talking about the libertarian stuff, you'll lose half your audience, but at least you go from 20,000 to 10,000. He's like, what you've tried to do is like, because it was just a passion project, start with a variety show. And now you're shifting more into business so that you will feel authentic sending this out to your, you know, 15,000 person realtor and loan officer list. He's like, but you're kind of swimming against the tide because you've already established that you're willing to talk to cross-dressers and OnlyFans girls and, you know, people that are super opinionated in the politics. So if you were giving me advice, like at the beginning of the show, what kind of segments would you recommend like building out to say, hey, we need to be able to break this up eventually for sponsors. We need to be able to pull out different chunks of the show. What are some segments for somebody that's starting a business podcast that you would like recommend?
Well, I always like current events.
What segments would you like to see? Current events, one of them.
Well, so let's talk about just if someone's planning out. The first segment is usually good to, we call it like the banter section. It's good to warm up the audience. That's a great place to catch up on personal stuff. That's a great place to talk about whatever is outside of the main segment. But then we go to, you know, some music and da-da-da. Kind of like how sitcoms, they used to have that opening segment and then they would set up the episode, cut to the intro, and then go to commercial. We like to do something similar. So get the audience ready and then you have your main kind of topic or whatever, right? That last segment, the easy ones are current events, tech or like tools, those sorts of things. In alignment with like current events, you know, I'm thinking about like if someone is a mortgage officer and they've got, you know, new programs are available or, you know, anything that's kind of reoccurring but changes,
yeah,
that might be helpful to
guideline updates, yep, ways to get people into a house, shit like that.
Right.
Interesting.
Yeah. there's so much of that that can go deep. And also, I think that people should get comfortable in those sorts of spaces and with those sorts of shows, being comfortable talking about the same thing from like 100 different angles.
Yeah.
And it's like the same topic from this perspective, from that perspective, for old people, for young people, for people, you know, like all these different, if you cover that same topic from all these different angles, you can really obviously start to establish yourself as the person for that. And then simultaneously attract a wider audience because you're talking to more people.
Yeah. Like if I was just talking, I would actually do this as a guest segment. Like if I was just talking to loan officers, I've got a previous business partner that I worked with and we went to separate companies. We went our separate ways. We're still good friends. And he's a great dude, Justin Bale. He's one of the few dudes where when I say to coaching clients, like, hey man, nobody really loves doing loans, like getting into the nitty gritty and memorizing the guidelines and working through tax returns. I'm like, nobody actually loves that. This is like a sales job. And then you have to go through the process of building the loan, except for Justin Bale. That guy really values being the smartest guy in the room. And he's the one who, like, when the press release comes out from Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac about like new guideline changes, he's like the only one in the company that actually reads that shit. So when I get one of those, I'll call him. I'll be like, hey, Justin, what's this new thing on like multifamily houses? And he's like, oh, you got to worry about this. They went from 20% down to 5% down, but now you got to worry about this. You can't have a cosign. Like, he just nerds out on that shit. If he started a podcast tomorrow just for loan officers, where he just did that current event segment and talked about, hey man, here's all the changes you need to worry about. Here's the new investors that came to the market. Ooh, and here's the guideline that went away that you used to lean on to get loans approved. He'd have the number one loan officer podcast in the country within 6 months because he's so freaking good at that stuff. I don't know if he would enjoy the banter as much, or like he's not going to have an edge on him because he's a little bit more, a lot more reserved than I am. But dude, you talk about current events and that segment of education. If I was doing a loan, I would do the funny stuff on the loan officer stuff, the salesy stuff, the coaching stuff. And I'd be like, and now for like the real stuff, let's shoot it over to Justin Bale, you know? So that's pretty interesting.
Well, I think not enough people are willing to honor their weird, if you will. That's probably something that people made fun of him for. Maybe he felt some type of way, right? Because, oh my goodness, I'm the only one doing this.
Right.
And so if he stopped because he thought about, you know, he cared about what other people were thinking, well, then he doesn't have this, he's not this great resource. So I think that a lot of us have these things that we are drawn to, or we think are fascinating, or that are easy for us, that are hard for other people. Like, that's how we got into podcasting, because I was like, this is simple enough for me, but this seems confusing as shit for you. So yeah, if you want to pay me, I'll do like that sort of thing. But for a while, like, I didn't really know podcasts, but it was something that I learned and someone kept asking me for help. I was willing to kind of drill down into it. You have to kind of do trial and error to figure out what people want. And then when you figure out what's resonating with people, to like double and triple and quadruple down on that. And that's what starts to create that sort of, I don't want to say notoriety, but that Jeff Hoffman, I think if you remember Jeff Hoffman,
yeah,
he talked about a parking spot. You know, his thing was like, in terms of branding and differentiation, he talked about there's all these different things and you can have a parking spot, which is different from all the other companies. So what is your parking? Where do you fit in this parking lot? And then once you identify what your spot is, making sure everybody knows it, that that's who you are. That's two steps to that, right? People have to figure out what their spot is and they have to tell people about it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's brilliant. So going along that segment idea, getting somebody who's really got their finger on the pulse of podcasting and marketing thyself. We're recording this in March of 2024. This will come out like Q2 of 2024. So, you know, looking into your crystal ball 3 months, 6 months, a year out, what are the current event things that are happening right now in podcasting, or specifically moving podcast content over to social media? What are some of the current events that you're seeing that like, oh yeah, I'm bringing this value to my client and I'm like 3, 6, 12 months ahead of the curve because like I'm reading the tea leaves and I'm reading the current events and I'm like, it's one of the reasons I love watching Gary Vee, because he's like, oh, this shit's not working anymore. I'm pivoting to this. Or like he was talking the other day on Instagram, a standard picture that you swipe over to a video. He's like, I don't know why that's landing. Like I wouldn't have guessed that. I would have thought to lead with the video, but like the picture, people can't help but swipe right when they see the little dots that there's something else. And then they kind of get forced into watching my video. And I'm like, oh, that's pretty brilliant. And he's just doing it through trial and error. So if you were talking about current events in the podcasting and marketing space, or, you know, the crystal ball of something that you think is going to blow up next, where are Hector's thoughts on current events and podcasting?
Well, the headlines are that everybody's getting fired right now. So like Spotify, they had a massive layoffs. Malcolm Gladwell, I just read an article that was dragging him because his podcast company is laying off a bunch of people. I mean, over the last really 2 years, and I was a part of that early on. I mean, there was a network that we got laid off. And so it was like, I've seen that and experienced that firsthand. But also, I think that it was, it's more of a correction than anything. You know, there was
like a correction in the overall podcasting market.
In the podcasting space, yeah, there was a ton of money and a ton of investment, and it was way bloated. And these companies, they hadn't figured out their model. Their business model was just built on hopes and dreams and making more Joe Rogans, but there's still only one Joe Rogan.
Right.
Know? I think the next in line is like Huberman. They thought that we're going to throw all this money in and then there's going to be a bunch of them and we can cash in on all the profits of all these things. And that just didn't pan out. With that being said, though, I don't think that the podcast industry is going anywhere. I think that more and more people are exposed to podcasts every day. I used to have to, when I would tell people, like, I have a podcast production company, you'd have to ask, like, do you know what that is? And almost nobody over the age of 40 would say yes. I'd have to be like, oh, it's that thing on your phone and, you know, whatever. I'd explain it.
Oh,
like,
they didn't know what a podcast was.
They didn't know what a podcast was, right.
Oh.
Yeah, like it was foreign to them. I'd say maybe 45 is probably the differentiator. But a few years ago, I had to explain it. Now, everybody I talk to, when I tell them about what a podcast is, do you know what a podcast is? They're like, oh, yeah, I know. They have some sort of association with it. It's getting put in cars. They're already on all the systems in the cars. And so it's like the access to them is only going to get easier. So I don't think that it's going away. I just think that people have to figure out what the business model is. That they have to have a business model going in, and that the business model can't be the show in the same way that even like these Netflix shows or series or whatever, like any type of media, there's some sort of business model that drives it. It's not that they just go and create this media, this art, and then all of a sudden people give them money. Like, I don't think that they really thought that through. And so if you've got a business, if you've got something that can actually drive revenue, then it makes more and more sense to, you know, to have a podcast, because just like people years ago, everybody needed a website, and then everybody kind of needed to be on social media. I don't think that everybody needs a podcast, but there's going to be so many more that are starting that if you don't have something to differentiate yourself or to create that, to at least establish that parasocial relationship, then your competitors are going to do it. They're going to be able to take that along with all of the benefits that come with actually having a media platform as well. Because yeah, you can drive revenue, you know, it can drive to your business, but there's also other benefits of it, whether it's connections or it can be its own property, IP, I mean, the whole sorts of things.
Yeah. One of the things that we're looking to do, and I think I've talked about this strategy on the podcast before, is that we want to have a bunch of business episodes, right? So that if somebody looks us up, it doesn't immediately go to the gal I interviewed from OnlyFans. So I want to have more business centric stuff up, and then we're going to rework like the pinned videos on YouTube and whatnot. And probably about the middle of this year, I want to use that slight rebrand of the podcast to be able to call estate attorneys, divorce attorneys, financial planners, and be like, hey man, can we get you on the podcast to talk about your angle? Because more and more, I'm doing more consumer direct stuff because I have a big enough database of past loan officer clients. And I think realtors are in a real weird spot right now where a lot of the ones that were successful aren't successful anymore just because there's fewer and fewer transactions. I have found the referral from a divorce attorney, a financial planner, a tax professional, that's almost signed, sealed, and delivered. Whereas when I get referred from a realtor, it's like, well, here's three loan officers you can call. And then that creates this race to the bottom of just shopping for rate. I don't get to do any of the other stuff that John Israel talks about the education, being the advocate, because it's like, well, you know, I'm talking to 17 people, who's got the best rate. And it's like, okay, that's fair. We are a commodity. I get it. So yeah, that's one of our thoughts is like, hey, how can we shift a little bit so then I can start talking about current events with financial professionals, divorce attorneys, family attorneys, estate attorneys, stuff like that, so I can get referrals from them. And then even if five people watch the podcast, who cares? Because I was able to build that relationship over the course of the show and then call on them for referrals in the future. So that's kind of what we're looking at. On the current event side, do these numbers still hold true? Like, I think I had read somewhere, and maybe this was some fake news, that like if a podcast, like most podcasts don't make it through past like the 7th or the 17th episode or something. Or
I think only 50% of podcasts make it to episode 8. So it's like half of them die out before episode 8.
Wow.
I believe 80 to 90% don't make it past 25. And then 50 is like, I think if you get, you're in the top 1% of shows, if you get in, at least in terms of number of episodes produced, you're in like the top, you know, 99% of them don't make it past episode 50.
Wow. And do you have any idea like how many podcasts they were at the height of COVID when everybody was telling everybody they had to have a podcast and where we're at now in 2024? I have to imagine a third or a half or two thirds have fallen off.
Oh, way more.
Way more.
Way more. Yeah. Kevin could probably quote these numbers a little better. There's something like—
Kevin, unmute yourself. Give us some cool stats.
I don't necessarily have the exact stats, but I watched it boom and bust.
Yeah.
It's something like 2.5 million podcasts.
That's what I was going to say.
Or like
out there.
Out there, right? Like right. You can go on like Listen Notes and just like Google podcast names, but they haven't put out episodes for 2, 3, 4 years.
I think it's like something like 200,000 are active within the last year.
It's like a ridiculous amount that have just gone
away.
Wayside. But again, goes back to your point in the conversation where COVID is over. People don't have the time to sit and talk for 3 hours. And the other thing, as you guys were talking about the 7-episode mark, it's like everybody's got that Joe Rogan mindset, but then it's, oh shit, I have to edit. I have to do the, there's video. Oh shit, there's social media. Like there's all these time intensive things that people have to do every week if they want to cultivate an audience and build that brand of their podcast, not even for a business, but just a brand of their podcast that they burn out because there is no return on investment for years. That goes YouTube and podcasting, right? Most big podcasters, you're looking at 5 to 7 years before they even begin to make money on YouTube, right?
Yeah. I mean, that Diary of CEO one, like, which is like the hit for everybody right now. And it's been around like 9 years.
Wait, which one is this?
Diary of a CEO.
Okay.
You know what I'm talking about?
No, I haven't. This hasn't even come across my radar.
But you've probably seen a lot of
I'm going to subscribe to it now. Yeah, it's Diary of a CEO.
Diary of a CEO. I think he's from the UK. But it's like the trend. And everybody that comes to us, they all say like, hey, can you make it look like this? Can you make us look like Diary of a CEO? And thankfully, Kevin is skilled enough to do that. But
I have seen this guy.
But he's been doing episodes for like 9 years. And he just caught fire like in the last year or two.
Yeah.
And people want to point to that and not point to the first 7 years.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. It's the typical, like, it took me 10 years to become an overnight success, right?
Right.
Yeah. I remember listening to Joe Rogan's podcast 8 years ago or something, just because there was an MMA fighter on there that you had no access to. They weren't, people weren't sharing their entire life on Instagram. And I'm like, oh, if it was today, I'd be like, oh, this guy, Sean Strickland, says some really wild shit in his post interview. I want to know more about him. Is he crazy? Is he just playing a WWF character? But now you can just go back and see his whole evolution over Instagram, podcasts, whatnot. And he is a psycho, no doubt about it. But it's like, at least he's a psycho, right? You have access to that. Cool. So that's like current event segment. Tell us about the tech tools. Like the thing that Chris hates doing the most is he sits in here and watches the podcast live. Then he watches it again to like edit it, make it look good for the long form. And then he's like, if I really want to do it right, I got to go through and I got to watch it a third time to get the clips and the timestamps and all that stuff. Now with tools like we've been using Opus AI, and it's not perfect, but it gives them a pretty nice cross section of like 30 videos where he's like, okay, if they didn't quite nail this 55-second clip, I can go back to the main source and splice it up correctly. So can you talk about some of the tools that are making life easier for podcasters or people like you who produce the podcast?
Yeah. One of the tools that we use the most, a tool called Descript. And I think it's really groundbreaking actually for not only for podcasts, but really editing any kind of content, because what it allows you to do is it allows you to edit an audio or a video like you would a Word document. So it transcribes all of the text. And so you can watch the video and then right along to the left of it, it's playing the transcript. And so you can actually see all the words. And so you can jump ahead or scoot ahead or control F or whatever it is. And so it creates a much different experience than just editing a waveform or, looking at these little jagged lines and trying to edit that. So I think it made it a lot more accessible. And then what they've also done is they've integrated AI into that sort of thing. So what you can do is you can ask it for the best segments or what are the best clips or where do they talk about this sort of topic? And so you can kind of integrate AI into your content to help pull out some of those highlights and some of those nuggets so that similar to what Opus AI does. And then we use it to kind of write our show notes and get a lot of those started. And at one point, we were paying a show note writer probably close to like $4,000 a month to write show notes for 3 different shows, because she would do exactly what Chris would do. And she would listen to it a couple of times, pull out all the links, write a great summary and blog post. And it was like, she was fucking fantastic at it. The challenge for her is that ChatGPT and AI can do that for $20 a month. So, much, much more. And so that's probably the one that we use the most is Descript. And then there's
so like, could I go into Descript and say, hey, I had this 3-hour episode. Give me all the segments where I used the word libertarian or I said Joe Rogan or I said technology or whatever. And then it'll give me those timestamps.
Right.
Man, that's pretty sick. We might have to look into that. What other type of tech are you seeing on the horizon? And is anybody going to have a job in 10 years? Because of the AI tools, are they getting that good?
Audio is interesting because Like Kevin does some wizardry. I don't know what he does. But I think that sort of thing requires a little bit of a nuance and an ear. And there's some human element that's still involved in that. Well, is the AI eventually going to catch up? Perhaps, but at least right now, it's not at the place where you can just click a button and, you know, you pull out all the dogs barking in the background and you pull out like, that's going to come though. And I think there will be a time where people can just click a button and get their audio edited, which is kind of nice. The other side of it is AI generative voices have become really easy to do. You actually might've sent a video like this, or maybe you've seen it in one of the Front Row Dad's threads. But you can basically just type a paragraph and certain programs will record you and kind of put a model together and then you record your voice and you just type the paragraph and it'll basically create a video for you of you talking and you recording it. Your mouth's moving, your eyes are moving, it's your kind of AI generated voice and all you had to do is write it. So thinking about for realtors or thinking about for whatever, for loan officers, all of a sudden the ability to create personalized videos gets really, really easy and scalable as well. The quality is eerie. It's really good for the most part.
Is it so scary where, who's the podcaster? He's British. He was like on The Bachelor show and he's just super blown up. He's getting a ton of interviews now. He's in Austin.
Chris Wilkinson or something.
Yeah.
Like that?
Yeah. I think his podcast is great. Cause
the one, the Modern Wisdom.
Yeah. Modern Wisdom. Thank you. Okay. Yeah. Modern Wisdom podcast. So is it good enough to where I could get interviewed by him and it would be all fake? It would be like his face, his voice. I just type in the questions. He would be like interviewing
me. You haven't
me.
Seen some of those videos. There's some Joe Rogan videos where it's Joe Rogan talking. And I'm like, there's no way he fucking said this.
He did not endorse this product.
Like, there's no way he fucking said that. This is just way too, like, he doesn't talk about this shit or like, yeah, it's a product that he's endorsing. And you read the comments and it's like the ones who are like, listen to enough of Joe. They're like, this is bullshit. This is bullshit. But to someone who hasn't listened to hundreds of his episodes, they wouldn't be able to tell. It wouldn't be able to tell at all.
It's kind of scary,
right? It's fucking way scary.
Because like somebody could take, I've probably got now at this point between coaching content, this podcast, I've got thousands of hours of like open content out on the internet. Somebody could just take my likeness, my voice, and they could produce a terrifying like string of comments that are just not me. And most people wouldn't be able to tell.
Nope, they would not. You've heard about scammers doing this.
Yeah.
Right? Where they basically clone someone's voice and stuff, and then they call their relative and demanding money or like saying that they're kidnapped or whatever, and it's all an AI generated voice.
I heard this terrifying story like that where like some girl, some lady gets a call and it's her daughter saying, hey, I've been kidnapped, I need you to wire this much money. It turns out the daughter was just at school. She was totally fine. But she had so much like TikTok video content that some scammer was able to duplicate her voice, duplicate her, her incantation and everything. And the mom thought it was really her daughter.
Yeah. So now that we have to have like safe words or whatever, you know?
Oh, I'm going to have to teach some to my kids.
Yeah. Yeah.
Panda. No, just kidding. That's not going to be a safe word. That's not it now. But
now you know if they say panda, it's not dad.
Yeah. Like if we get to a point where it's like, you can't trust your own eyes. Dude. I mean, it's pretty scary.
We're just about there.
I mean, look at all the Taylor Swift controversy that over the uproar of the AI pictures. Obviously it wasn't her, but they generated her face onto a woman posing provocatively with the Kansas City Chiefs fans. And like literally it went like nuclear, like viral.
Wow.
And like companies got in trouble like for putting that kind of shit out there. But like we are on the precipice of
even for video, right? Like there's OpenAI just announced, I think it's called, is it called Sora?
It's like Sora or Sora.
I don't like that. It's so close something. To Soros. That sounds kind of creepy. Cool. But anyways, it's like it's the same thing that you could do with ChatGPT or with the pictures where you just, I want an old man walking across the street in Thailand in 1964. And it's like, boom. Like, there it is. Tyler Perry, he was building out an 800, do you know the story?
Mm-mm.
He was building out an $800 million studio complex in Georgia for new studios. And he put all that on hold. He's like, we don't need any of this. We can do it all with AI. And so they canned that whole $800 million expansion. He's like, we're not doing anything until we see where this is going because we're not going to make this investment. And then we can do this thing for $20. Because he's like, literally, we used to have to go to the mountains. We used to have to go to Serbia or all these different places. He's like, I can type it in there and boom, I'm there.
Wow. Yeah, because like green screens are scary enough, but you could always kind of tell there's that little filter behind somebody. You know, green screen technology is not perfect. Right. And that's better than blue screen, which was before, you know? So it's like, it's not perfect, but yeah, if you can just create the entire, I don't know, ecosystem with just word prompts, simultaneously awesome and terrifying. I was thinking the other day about stock manipulation. how long before somebody comes up with an AI generated video of a 747 Airbus crashing and Boeing stock goes through the toilet for 8 hours before they figure out it's all fake, right? Like if you had some catastrophic stuff go viral, I mean, you could talk about like hundreds of thousands, hundreds of millions, billions of dollars being lost in market cap for a company if AI, I just can't even imagine the implications, right? Somebody has a fake AI generated video of them going through the Chick-fil-A drive-through and the Chick-fil-A representative saying something racist or something, right? And now all of a sudden Chick-fil-A stocks on a crash and it's like, oh no, it was just a hoax. All turned out to be fake. I think we could be going to like a really, really scary place on that shit.
Within the last 6 months, there was that drug maker Lilly, they make the insulin.
Okay.
And somebody had like photoshopped a press release saying that they were going to drop the price of their insulin down to like $7 or something like that. And their price tanked until Lilly like literally put out a press release and said, no, this is not true. And then it all went back up. Like we are.
It's Nancy Pelosi shit.
Yeah. Yeah. She's the best investor in the history of America. She puts Warren Buffett to shit. You know, I was just reading the other day, her publicly disclosed profile is up 90% in the last 14 months. I wonder.
Of course.
If only I also had access to legal insider trading. Oh, Nivdia, or whatever the fuck it's called. You know, she's just like a massive investor in there right before they got a government contract. Wonder how that happened. Like, dude, the fact that Americans have not stepped up and been like, no, we need to pass a resolution or an amendment or something that politicians cannot profit off their insider information. Like, how is that a thing? It's just bonkers. Like if we did the stuff that people in Congress could get away with, we would be in jail. 100%.
Nothing to see here. Nothing to see here. Perhaps that's just why we're living in this distraction, you know, filled world. There's so much shit they don't actually want us to pay attention to. Perhaps that even being the least of the things, you know, but one of them.
Yeah. Oh, man.
There's a whole Reddit thread dedicated to Nancy Pelosi.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Her trading. Like
there's a mutual fund you can buy now
that just follows
the investments of congressmen, and it's like this hedge fund guy. I follow his Instagram, and he's like, yeah, he's like, just to be clear, I am not an analyst. I am not a quant. I don't do any research. All my venture capital fund or his mutual fund does, he started with some hedge fund money. All we do is we try to mirror the trades of congressmen. And he's fucking killing it, dude. You know, I think the market's up like 12%. He's up like 28% because, you know, sometimes there's a lag on those disclosures and stuff. But it's like, that should not be a thing. Like, how is this even controversial? Shouldn't it be partisan? Shouldn't it be an argument? It's just like, maybe Congress should have to live by the same financial rules that put, I don't know, Martha Stewart in jail, for Christ's sake.
I don't know. It baffles me what people get up in arms about and what they just decide that is not important. And it just seems so backwards sometimes that the things that actually matter, we don't give a shit about. And the things that don't matter at all, we can't come together on.
Yeah, totally. And the left and the right does it, right? It's like, whatever. I don't want men following my daughter into the bathroom. But if it's between having that argument, I'll take care of my own daughter's bathroom habits, and Congress being able to cheat the financial system, I'm way more concerned about Congress cheating the financial system. You know, it's just, oh God, it's crazy. All right. Sorry, we got off on a tangent there. Any other tech tools that people need to know about when they're thinking about podcasting?
No. What's nice about Descript is you can do a lot with Descript. So if you just get started there, I feel like it'll open up a huge world.